Well, some way, somehow, the night they got messed up with the radio station. So just call back if you can. I don't know what's going on, but we give God the glory and the praise, and we thank him for everything that he has done for us. One of the things that I take notice of is that the Lord our God is an awesome God. What God has done for us, God has made it so possible for us. Now, sometimes the radio station gets all confused, and I try to get it back in order, but I see somehow or another, I got to call the radio station. See, all this interference, all this interruption, see.
When you wear a beautiful hat like I'm wearing, it feels so elegant.
I really don't know.
My name is Joan, and I'm Pat Beaver's biggest fan. I am a cancer survivor. Wearing the hat lifted my spirits. We love them because they complete us. It's like the crown in touch. So when I have my crown on, I'm complete.
I don't know. Hello, are you listening to me out there? Hello?
Can you hear me? You bought a used car. This person bought you.
Can you hear me?
Better buys are at Buckley, right?
See, I don't understand. But I get together. Amen. We got some issues, but we just going to continue to pray and believe God that I don't know what's going on with the radio station. Every time this stuff comes in, are you out there with me and listen to me in radio land?
Yeah, we out here. Praise the Lord. Can you hear us?
Yes. Amen. Well, I mean, I went to I had to use my telephone to get in there. I don't understand what's going on. If it ain't one thing, that's all right. That's all right. We still give God the glory.
Glory to God. Amen.
We still give God. We still give God the glory. So
yes.
I know the Lord laid something on your heart, so talk to us and tell us what the Lord laid on your heart.
Wow. Well, I had called ever since 8, so we just glorify God in any situation we find ourselves in. We thank God that we are in the land of the living.
An attitude. When you wear a beautiful hat like I'm wearing, you feel so elegant. My name is Joan, and I'm Pat Beaver's biggest fan. I am a cancer survivor. Wearing the hat lifted my spirit. We love them because they complete us. It's like the crowning touch. So when I have my crown on, I'm complete.
Ah, what is that?
When you rush through life, the good times just end quicker. Make time to savor cruising around, a perfectly aged rum that never hurries.
I don't know, but every time I try to get something squared away, something else pops up.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. Every time we get the radio station complete, and somehow or another, I know that, you know, I try to keep this airway open, but nevertheless, let's go ahead and give God the glory. We're going to preach anyway.
Amen. Glorify God. Almighty Father God, we come thanking you, praising you, magnifying you, and exalting you, Father God, all over this land, all over this earth that's rotating, causing it to move on its axles. We thank you, Father, for the blood that's running warm in our veins. We thank you, Lord God, for mercy, this new mercy that we received early this morning. We thank you, Father, that mercy is renewed every day. We thank you, Father, for giving us a heart that panteth after righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for giving us ears to hear your everlasting love. We thank you, Father, for tongues to praise you. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we can't thank you enough for all you've done. There's not enough tongues on earth to give you all the praise you're worthy of. We praise you, Most High God. Elohim, El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Nisa, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, we thank you. Thank you for the peace that passes all knowledge and understanding, Lord. Thank you, Father, for helping hurting people, Father, because it's a bunch of hurting people out here, saints and unsaints. It's a bunch of loved ones and family ones who are in desperate need of you, Lord, who haven't received this joy and gladness down in their soul, or it's so far down in there that we can't reach it. We thank you for helping those that are sick and afflicted, who haven't learned that you are our healer, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those whose rent is short and they're being tormented with being put out. Their car payment is lacking. We know, Father, there's hurting just the simple things that your word teaches us to worry not about. We cast them on your shoulders, Lord. The word said, cast your cares upon you, for you care for us. We come to you this evening, this September 14th, 2015. The year's almost gone. We're under Rosh Hashanah. We know, God, this is the new year now for the Jewish holiday. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for mercy. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us safe up and down these highways, because it ain't no joke out there. We thank you, Lord,
for going to wake and walk out and can't get any tracks.
Every part of the evil, Father, that's the end of this program and the next program, all the programs that we own. Change, we find. Be in full control, because truly greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the victory. It is already done. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon that is formed can prosper against us. We thank you, Lord, that the devil is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus Christ, Elohim, Yeshua, our Mashiach, is Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we've taken our power and our authority, and we stand and firm on your word in the name of Jesus. We don't have to bow down to nothing Satan is trying to do, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he loved us so much that he put himself in us. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and your Holy Spirit that is so powerful. It is the most powerful force here on earth and in heaven, because you sent it back to us and gave us the comforter, the power, and the authority to operate and move in your name. And we ain't going to bow down for nothing Satan is trying to do. We get down and depressed when we forget who we is. But we not. This night, we're going to remember people out there that we are the sons of the living God. And we don't have to bow to no devil. We have the victory, not only this night, but from here on through eternity. This is just a stomping ground. We ain't here. This ain't our home. We are just temporary pilgrims traveling through. But during this travel, we have been given power and authority. authority, and we stand in the authority and power of the word. And the word says that God so loved the world, that God so loved the world, that God came down to the world. He put on flesh, and he came and made himself of human so that he could save us through the flesh and through the spirit. And he sent back a comforter to indwell us, that will reach out and repent and receive him, the greatest gift God has ever given mankind, the unspeakable gift, the mighty Holy Spirit that indwells us that now believe in him. And we are powerful people. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000. And God got an army that's unnumbered out here on the earth. Oh, glory to God. And we want this nation to know, and the other nations to know, that no matter where we are in the world, in what land or city or country, that we are victorious and we are mighty in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we are mighty warriors. We are soldiers of the mighty cross, and we are washed in the powerful blood of Jesus. And we want y'all to know that no devil in hell has no power. He's defeated, people. Remember, he is already defeated. He ain't gonna be defeated. He is already defeated. Jesus came in a lowly fleshly body. Powerful God humbled himself, was spit on, was degraded, was humiliated, was talked about, and did all of that when he was king and creator, and he didn't have to do it. But thanks be to God, which always giveth us the victory, the words say. Thanks be to God. Tonight, amen. I wanna talk to the world, to the body of Christ out there, for us to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. I want us to examine ourselves. The word commissions us to examine ourselves in Colossians and 1 Corinthians 11:28. It tells us to examine ourselves, and in 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine ourselves. And then, would you believe also in Psalms 26:2, it also tells us to examine ourselves. And this is one of the problems that is happening in this world now. We're all hurting people. And hurt people hurt people. We're hurting people. We're wearing masks. We got so much pride, so much dignity, so much stamina, as we call it. But pride goes before fall. We need to cry out to God and let the world know and let God know that we need him every minute, every hour, every day. We're desperate for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't have a kingdom of our own. We are God's children, been translated into God's kingdom. And so therefore, we got to learn to love one another for the God that's inside of us. And have compassion, the word teaches us. Having compassion. And be strong for those that are weak. And be weak for those that are so strong, because they just got a mask on. They ain't really strong. They just pretend it. And we all just alike. We all trying to survive, trying to walk in the victory that God is so great to give us. But the devil, but don't be depressed. Just lift yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord. Just start praising God. Praise him. Praise you, Lord. praise you. I know you might be laying on your bed of affliction. You might be sick. You might not be feeling very good. But just start praising God. You might not, I know you're saying, I don't feel like praising. I ain't in the mood to praise. I don't want to thank God. Why should I thank God? Why should I? That's the devil's hand. Whenever you say that,
he really didn't get a say, right?
But
wait, I'm
no matter how bad the situation is, because God hears praise. He hears praise, and he hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears the cries of those who cry out for him and hunger for him. God is not far. He's everywhere you are. He's everywhere you are. God is not far. He is everywhere you are. Listen to me. The God of the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, when Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and to the saints, all of Paul's letters were to the saints. And so if you're a saint and you're depressed, and you're stressed, and your whole world has been turned upside down, just stop and stand still and cry out to God and know that the Word of God has got an answer for you. There's an answer in the Word. The Word is life. Life. I mean, it is flowing life. And so don't be discouraged. Don't let the devil ride you like a horse. Oh, shucks, my other phone is ringing. Don't let the devil ride you like a horse. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him mess with your mind and your heart. Just give God the praise. And know that Colossians teaches us that God is the creator. Colossians chapter 1. Get your Bibles out. Pull them. Pull your Bibles out. Colossians chapter 1 teaches us that Christ, which to the saints and the faithful, and to the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace, and I want y'all to know what grace is. You hear it all the time. It's the unmerited favor. It's something you don't deserve and something you can never earn. Grace be to unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Colossians chapter 1 and 2. This is Colossians chapter 1 and 2. We give thanks to God. That's what I just got through telling you to do. Give thanks, give praise, glorify, magnify. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do that because Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Now, for those who might not understand what intercession is, let me make it very plain. He is talking to God, the Father, Elohim, El Shaddai, about you. Father, give them time. Father, give them more time. Give them mercy. Open up the doors for them. Give them favor, Lord. This is Jesus pleading for you on a daily basis, on a daily basis for you. So you can truly recite, I'm on the mind of Christ. Christ might not be on my mind, but I'm on the mind of Christ. So understand that he loves you. And I love you. I love you. I don't know you. I don't need to know you. But I know this, that I cannot see God without loving you. I cannot see God without forgiving you. I cannot see God without dying daily to myself. I must decrease. Christ must increase. And that's why he has given us this word. Look at here in verse 4. since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, listen at that, for the hope which is laid up. There's hope laid up. I know right now your rent's due, your car note's due, you barely got enough food to eat. Don't know where you're going to get some food. I've been there, brother. I've been there. I thank the Lord for you. But everyone, everything goes through.
Because
we got people, and we bind that spirit that keep popping up on the line. We bind it. We bind it. Because when Christ is exalted, the devil is mad. Always. And I don't intend to exalt nobody but Christ. Nobody but Christ shall I exalt. God, I live. God, I die. And God, I glorify. Hallelujah. 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 I glorify God. So he's worthy. I'm telling you, there ain't no man running for president that's worthy. There ain't nobody in the history of human beings that's worthy as Christ. Christ, you can worship Christ. You can magnify Christ. You can glorify Christ. He is your everything. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Oh, get to know him, people, to know him. Time is running out. This world is so wicked. It's getting evil and an evil and an evil. It is by the grace of God that we wake up every morning. These mornings we wake up. And we're safe in our homes. Do y'all realize there are people waking up with the enemy standing over them every morning? Oh, I mean, it only happens one morning. And then he's breaking in these people's houses, kicking in doors. So it's by grace you need God now more than you ever needed him before in life. I'm asking you. And if you're in the bathroom or in the kitchen or in the closet, go in there and ask God to be your comfort, to come down, pull himself to you. We bind. The Bible says whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. We loose the praise of Christ all over the world in the name of Jesus. We loose the magnificent lifting up and exaltation of God Almighty in the name of Jesus all over the earth. We loose.
Hallelujah.
The divine presence of God where you are right now in the midst of your troubles. In the sick bed, in the hospital, if you're homeless, under the bridge, we loose Christ in your heart, in your soul right now. For those who can't, who don't have a radio and are not there, we want to our purpose, Dr. Hunter's purpose, and my purpose, and every saint that come on here. We love you. We want to show you how to live victorious. And how to walk in the victory that God has so freely given. I tell you, it's just like wherever you're at right now in your house, and if you're sitting on the couch or in the chair, and you got $1 million in there under the bed, and you're sitting up in here talking about what you ain't got, that's what you got. You got more than $1 million under your bed right now. Right now you got more than that because Jesus Christ is more than money. He's more. He's everything you need. And he's got everything you need. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. But when you give your life to him, he's going to come and he's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you. If you're a parent and you've had children and you've got and remember when you had that brand new baby and that baby was born and you made sure that the baby was clean. You fed the baby its milk every time it ate. Every time it was hungry, you changed its diaper, you bathed it, you thought to it that it had everything it needed. Every time it made a whimper, you was there. That's what Jesus is to us, y'all. That's what he does to you. Once you say, I surrender, Lord, I've been trying in my way, I don't have another one. You are all I got. I want to know you for myself, Lord. Please come in. Come into my heart. I believe you there. I believe you're interceding for me, Lord. I believe you're interceding for me. I need you, Lord. I need you tonight, Lord. Just need you to go out and find this devil. This person that's interfering with the radio, he's in desperate need. He's in trouble, Lord. And we know, Father, that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we can ask or think, because you know everything. You know the beginning and the end. So why won't we trust you, Lord?
Why won't we trust you? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord. We thank you for being a God that we at hand, not a God for all. He's not only in heaven interceding for us, but he's right there where you are. He's opening his arms. He's right there where we are right now. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. This year, make this day your birthday in Jesus Christ. Make this day a renewed revival in your heart. And I do want to remind everybody, we're down to 8:51. I do want to remind everybody that we are having a revival this weekend. The 18th, the 19th, and the 20th. And I would like to invite everyone to come out in the, to Aldine Westfield, and be a part of it, and be a part of worshiping God and getting to know God, and offering your service. The Bible says this is a reasonable service. Is that we just praise him, worship him, and glorify him. And where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. So we just ask you to be a part of us because we love you and we want the best for you and the very best for Jesus. I can't think of nothing but Jesus. Here's that address.
Maybe
I'm a favorite Christian girl.
Perfectly aged
rum. We thank you, Lord God. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this reading of Colossians tonight and for the sharing of asking the saints to examine themselves and see if they be in the faith, to ask them to make sure that they treat others as they want others to treat them. And to remember, I know it's hard. We must kill this flesh. This is a momentary thing. We can say, oh, I got the victory this minute, and the next minute be ready to jump on our brother. We know that's the flesh. That's normal. That's normal for human flesh. But just think of Jesus. Just think of Jesus. If we can just, the more we eat the word, the more we get the word in us, and we are able to resist. Because the word tells us, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So we know that we have the power, but we don't always operate in it. We ask you to be perfect because we love you, and we don't expect you to be perfect because we're not perfect. We're all children of God trying to please the living God. And so, therefore, we ask you tonight on this day, go forth strongly, knowing that you have authority, knowing you have power, and most of all, know that you have already defeated the devil. He's already defeated. He ain't going to be defeated. He's already defeated. And we just have to remember whom you are and whose you are, and that you are loved highly by the Most High God. And I ask you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to always go forth in Jesus, loving and cherishing one another for the short time we have here on earth, because it ain't but a minute. God bless you.
Amen. Well, you know, the Lord is so good. But I was, as Sister, as Reverend Roy was saying, there is a great meeting on the on this weekend. And I'm going to put it on Facebook and let it be known, because we're ready to do what God has told us to do. And if you know those who are listening to us by wayside, behind the side, and the side, the revelation of knowledge of Jesus Christ is coming so rapid to the believers. We got to stand firm. I don't like turning the television on. Every time you turn on, somebody got killed, somebody got murdered. This done happened, that done happened, this done happened, that. And I said, Lord, but he said, this shall happen. It shall happen, but just be patient. Wait on me. We have to trust in God. And let me tell you, as Sister Roy was saying, we don't have but a moment on this earth, but we got to do what we can do while we're doing it, because God has shepherded us here on the earth with him through Jesus Christ. And then I just want to, the minute I got to put this, share with you right quick, but we'll come to the next program. I was so caught up in the spirit until I heard the teaching was said, and I did it some years ago. Who can keep the commandment of God? Well, a hunter can't keep them. Who can keep the commandment of God? Who? No one but Jesus. And I just want to shout hallelujah, because I can't keep them. I couldn't keep the first two commandments until I come to know Jesus Christ. Honor God. Respect God. Please God. Be obedient. Surrender. Have no other God before him, but he's the true and living God. Whatever people say to us, it don't make a difference to me. The more you come in, the more you let Christ into your whole person, the more you're going to see out of the lens of Jesus Christ. And the more I began to see what God was saying, he took me to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I was sharing with y'all, y'all get home, read the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Take your time and read it. Take your time and read it. You're going to see some things that you're going to say, it's there. I mean, the revelation now is going to pour out to you. You know, I thank God tonight. All of y'all on the radio, I have a young lady that's ready to come on. And I want to thank God for an attitude that she has. I thank God for an attitude because she's married to a great man. And I know that I see them on Facebook, and I'm going to thank y'all. And I'm going to some of those people that come on. I mean, you ever have some people come on your Facebook that dump a bunch of junk? We got to dump them. But I want to just say, are you there, Sister Latrice? Hello?
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. How's it going tonight?
You know what? God is always here through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God is always here through Jesus. And I give God the glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Amen. Glory to God. Well, before I get started, I want to start with a prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's joined us on the line, Father God. We cover the line under the blood of Jesus, Father God. We ask that you release your angels and camp around every single one of us, Father God, as we open up our ears and our hearts to receive what you're saying to us on tonight, Father God. Give us understanding, Father God, and reach us right where we at, Father God. And as we do your work, Father God, continue to keep us covered, Father God, and continue to keep your shield of protection around us in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to do something different tonight. I wanted to, this God put on my heart about having a servant's heart. And he gave me a couple of scriptures to read and to, you know, share with everyone. But after I share, I wanted to reach out and have like an open discussion, you know, for everyone to, you know, share what their opinion is or example of having a servant's heart. But I'm going to start with the question, are you serving? Are you serving for Jesus Christ or are you serving for the world? And it starts with Philippians 2, 3, and 11. And I'm going to give everybody time to get their Bibles. Philippians 2, 3, and 11. Glory to God. It says, having the attitude of Christ. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equally with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, I want to start from the beginning where he says, is there any comfort from his love, or is there any fellowship together in the Spirit, and are our hearts tender and compassionate? You know, so many times we as Christians, when we get saved, we think that being saved is just being saved. We're getting saved from hell. But it's so much more than that. You know, we enter into the kingdom of God. We have work to do. We're not just there to sit in the pews and get the word and then leave and don't reach out, you know, and help in the church or the community. It's more than life than just going to get the word and living by the word and not doing nothing else. That's kind of, I guess you could say, greedy and selfish. But God wanted me to share that you've been saved and you're a Christian now, but what are you doing? Are you serving me? Are you serving others? Are you putting your own needs to the side and reaching out to fellow, you know, Christians that need a word? Are you reaching out to clean the bathroom if the bathroom needs to be cleaned at the church? Are you reaching out at your job, you know, with the staff members or with the employees that you work with? You know, we have to do more than just do enough. We got to do more than enough. We got to reach out and do 150%. And we got to remember, when we reach out and we're to serve, we got to reach out not to please man or to please ourselves, but to please God and be enthusiastic about it. Because everything we do, if we do it unto God, we get rewarded for that. Like he said, those who humble themselves are the ones that he exalts. So we always have to check our hearts and see why we're doing certain things. And if it ain't righteous, we have to ask, first we have to repent and ask God to teach us how to be humble and how to serve like Jesus Christ did. You know, God started from the very beginning when he gave us Jesus Christ. You know, he served us by giving us Jesus Christ to free us from our sin and our guilt, you know, so we don't have to walk in those sins. You know, he gave Christ to us so we can be free. And because we now live in Christ, we have to, you know, let that light shine and be a servant and show, be grateful, you know, be compassionate, you know, be tenderhearted, help others, you know, and be united, love one another and work together with one another and not always have, you know, like secret agendas or why you're doing something or just doing it with a humble heart and a genuine heart. You know, God wants us to be real, period, be real. You know, if you don't feel like doing something at the time, that's fine because everybody have their moments. Everybody have their days where they just don't feel like doing something. But when you do it consistently, that's selfish. You know, you have to reach out. Even in the midst of your own headache, you know, you have to reach out and help someone. So we have to stop being so comfortable with just living and go beyond just living. You know, humble ourselves and be servants and reach out to everyone, even those on the streets. Just like Christ came to serve us and to serve and help, we should do the same because Christ lives in us. And I wanted to share, one second, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, which says, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants for Jesus Christ. So when we bring forth the word, we're not doing it for ourselves. So we have to remember when we, whether it's behind the pulpit or in the street somewhere, on the street corner, or even at your workplaces or at school even, you know, you're not sharing Christ to bring attention to yourself. You're sharing it as a servant to not only Christ but to the person that you're reaching out to. You know, and that's really humbling yourself and not looking at what you're doing but doing it for Christ and doing it to glorify God and not yourself. And also, when we serve God, we have to serve God with all our heart and soul. And it says that in Joshua 22:5, meaning you have to submit every part of your being, everything, to Jesus Christ. And you have to love the Lord with all your heart and your soul. And you must love your brethren and your sister with all your heart and your soul. And when you're walking in love, you consider it to be a servant because you're doing it in love, just like Jesus Christ did for us. You know, when Jesus was put on the cross for us, for our freedom, it wasn't just to be free from sin. It was more than that, you know, so much more than that. You know, we have to serve each other with love, and we have to reach out to those who need us, and we have to reach out to even our enemies and the ones that we don't get along with, because that's a true example of walking in God's love and serving others. We have to remember also when we want to lead, we have to first be able to serve, because that's what all leaders do. You're serving people. You're not, that's because God put you in leadership. He puts you in leadership because he trusts that you are able to reach out and humble yourself and help the next person. In any establishment, whether it's church or it's, you know, when you put in that position, you are facilitating things, but at the same time, you're working hard to oversee everything, and you're working hard to make sure you're doing your part with helping those that's working for you. And then those who humble themselves and serve, God always is awesome, like I said before. Thank you, God. Also, as you know, as Christians, amen, amen. As Christians, we have family members that are not saved, you know, and we know they're not saved. It's for us to walk in love and reach out to them, you know, to reach out and see how can we help them by serving us. How can we help them to get closer to Christ? Amen. And I'm also reminded about John 13:2-17, which talks about how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was serving them. He was going out in love. He humbled himself. That's just amazing. Jesus washed their feet, not them washing his feet, which how it should have been. He washed their feet. That's humbling right there. Like, that's just a wild moment. Glory to God. Like, if Jesus could do it, you know, we definitely should be reaching out and doing, and I'm saying reaching out, not washing feet, but doing whatever you need to do to serve the next person, to reach out and help someone overcome a situation, to reach out and tell someone an encouraging word. Serving, you don't just have to physically serve. You can speak a word and serve someone and help them, you know. But you have to do it with a genuine heart and just be real with it. And also, when you're doing the work for the Lord and you're serving, you have to always be kind. I recently learned this, to be kind even to when it's tough situations. You know, sometimes you may feel like somebody don't deserve to for you to serve them, but that's not up to you to decide that. You just do what thus says the Lord and let him take care of the rest. And that's truly walking in God's love and being a servant. And the word says in Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Just like I said about being a leader. If you want to be great in anything, you got to be willing to be the least at it. I mean, being a servant for it. And it also blessed me. God gave me Luke 1:38, which talks about how Mary humbled herself when the angel of the Lord came and told her that she was going to have a baby, which was Jesus Christ. You know, she was being a servant, and she even said it, I am the Lord's servant. So whatever you say, let it come to pass. She humbled herself, and she said it. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm your servant, whatever you say. So when God give us tasks and he wants us to do something, that should be the first thing coming out of our mouth, because first of all, God is asking us to do something. That should be without a question, Lord, whatever you say, Lord. And if you feel like you can't do it, you ask God, Lord, I know you know I can do it, so teach me how to do it so I can walk in what you're calling me to walk in. You have to humble yourself. Humbling yourself is so important when you're serving others. And you have to be real. You have to be real, and you have to be genuine. Because when you do it outside of that, you're not doing it with love. And I wanted to also share the definition of being a servant, which says one who gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his kingdom, devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest, a helper, a supporter, someone who's willing to submit to another person to help them, basically. And that is just like, that right there in itself, that is the awesome definition of being a servant. Because so many people think being a servant is doing outside of, like, doing things that don't seem to be, I can't really explain, like, doing things that you know is real easy for you to do, and it's like you don't want to do it, but at the same time, God is telling you to do it, and because you don't want to, how can I say it? Like, you have to submit to God, and you have to allow God to do whatever he tell you to do, no matter how easy it is, how hard it is, no matter who the person is, where you're doing it, if he told you to do, you should just submit and do it. And when you have a leader and the leader asks you to do something, you should be joyful to do it. As a servant, you should do, whether it's going in, for instance, if you work, like, at an office building and the leader tells, the manager tells you to go out and empty the trash or something, you should be joyful about it because you're doing your work. Anything that you do, you should have joy about it. You should be proudful about it. You should be excited about it. You should be enthusiastic about it because you're working and you're doing it not unto men, but unto God. So you have to remember, whether it's to sweep, clean the toilet with a toothbrush, you got to humble yourself and say, okay, God, now I know I don't like this, but I'm going to do it because I'm doing this unto you. And I know you see everything I do. Even in situations where you at work and you see everybody sitting around, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, but you know in your heart certain things need to be done. And you're like, well, I'm not doing it. It ain't my job. I'm not getting paid to do that. I'm going to just do something else. No, because you know better. You know you got to have integrity, and you got to be willing to say, okay, God, I know you see this, so I'm going to do what I need to do unto you and not unto them. And I'm going to humble myself and be a servant unto you, God, and not unto man. And I think that's just so important with every area of our life. And I also wanted to share, one second, Matthew 25:31-44. And it talks about, like, the final judgment. And I'm starting at 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and fed you? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and gave you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in a prison and visit you? And the king would say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. And the king would turn to those on the left and say, away with you, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison. Didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I will tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you refuse to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. My God, that is just powerful. When you think about the people that you pass by on the street corner, you have like coins in your car, like in the little cup holders where we all keep our little change at, and you pass them up and you look at them, oh, they don't need that. They can go find a job. But what if God's telling you, testing you and telling you, give them something? You pass them up, you know, just little things like that. You know, a lot of us have family members that are like in the hospitals and in the prisons. You know, he said, when I was sick in the prison, you didn't visit me. We have to reach out, even to family members and friends. If God is quickening your spirit to reach out and go out to the hospitals and visit the sick, step out and do it. You know, go visit those in prison, because these people are in need of encouraging words. They are in need to hear a word that God hasn't forgotten them, that God still loves them, that God is a forgiving God. You know, we are vessels. We are called to serve. We are vessels of God. So when God quickens us to do something, we're not sure, we pray about it. And if you hear it clear again, make haste. Do it. Because God is calling you for it to do it. And anytime God calls you for it to do anything, he's equipping you to do it. He's preparing you to do it. So you have family members that's sick, that needs help, or even just to go visit them at their home. You know, people that are alone. We have a lot of people that are widows, you know, and so many of us forget about them, you know. So many of us forget that they're home by themselves, you know. Go by and visit them. Go bring them, get them out the house, bring them to dinner or something. You know, and as your family members that's in prison, you know, everybody make a mistake. No one is perfect but Jesus Christ. So it just so happens certain people get caught in that mistake, because so many times we ourselves have did something we should have been in jail for, but God graced us to make it and gave us mercy. And but those who get caught, we have to reach out to them and go visit them and give them a word of encouragement. Pray with them. Tell them about salvation. Tell them about God. You know, reach out to the community. Be a servant of God. That's what he wants. That's the ultimate purpose. He wants us to get out in the church. Not just go to the church and get the word and don't see what the pastor need or the first lady need or, you know, the men. There's so many different ministries and churches. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a calling on their life. You know, you have to seek God and ask God what your gift is so you can operate in it. And that's part of serving as well. So it's not just to go in and I just keep hearing it. It's not just to go in and get the word, keep the pews warm and then leave. No, it's way more than that. God is giving you the word to equip you to go back and share that word with someone else that needs to hear it, that didn't go to church, or someone that just gave up on themselves and gave up on church because of church hurt. They need you to reach out to them. We have to be a living vessel. We have to be willing to serve. We have to humble ourselves and be willing to do whatever thus says the Lord. We have to reach out. Reach out to everyone that we come across. Evangelize for Jesus Christ. And do it unto God and not unto ourselves. You'll be surprised. In the midst of you going through someone, you reach out to someone, that's healing for you. You forget your own issues and you're reaching out to help someone else. I experienced that myself, having a rough day. And God just led me to minister to a couple of people. And by the end of the day, I felt so good, like nothing never happened. So, you know, I just sharing that we all should have a servant's heart. We want to open up the minds for anyone has anything on their heart to share, you know, any kind of examples that can help anyone with having a servant's heart, anything. I just want to open up the lines, and I want to start with my husband Murphy, and we can go.
Amen, amen. How y'all doing? Keep talking. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right now, I just want to pray restoration of my wife in the name of Jesus. You know, everything that she's poured out, that it'll be restored in the name of Jesus. I came up with the Apostle Andrew. Andrew had a servant heart. All in the book of John, it gives accounts of when he went down and you know, he brought the young boy forth with the five loaves and two fish. You know, he was helping bring people to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So he had a heart of a servant. So that was a great example of a servant, of being a disciple for the Lord. So also he did so much. He brought the at the feast of the Passover. I'm sorry. Was Prop Jesus to say, when I'm lifted up on earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know, he was the Gentiles to the Lord. You know, he put the Gentiles on the Lord's mind. Andrew was a great. He was a great disciple. So that's what I have. The lines is open. Anybody that have anything else? Amen.
Amen. The line is open.
Amen. I know someone out there knows how to be a servant. Anybody want to share? I know they have some awesome men and women of God on the line. Anybody want to share? Any examples on their heart?
Amen. Amen.
Are y'all thing?
Out here, I go with the example in the Bible where Joseph learned how to be a servant. In the midst of everything that he was going through, everything he experienced, every work that he did, he excelled in much because he learned how to be a servant until the appointed time that he was raised up and promoted. You know, and sometimes on our job, we want the teachers, positions and stuff, but we're not willing to do the dirty work. We're not willing to sweep the floors or clean the bathrooms or do the tedious work, you know, so that we can be noticed by those that they need to know us so promotion could come, you know, because even in this place, we're not working for our employees, although they pay us. We're still working for God, even on our job. So, you know, so we have the right mindset of who our employer really is. It's not the one that pays our check. It's the one, it's the greater one, God himself. That's who we're working for. And he's the one that has us in this job for a purpose and a reason. So when we tell it in our heart that our work is unto the Lord, it is for him because he has a purpose for us being there, then we could be a faithful servant. We could be a lawyer servant. We could go to him and tell him and let him know that the things that we experience and the things that is wrong, you know, he will fix it for us. We don't have to worry about doing anything. He will fix it. He already knows. He's just waiting for us to submit it to him, you know. And part of being a servant is being totally submitted to the Lord in everything. Being that submission to the Lord and being a servant, he, you know, it says in the word that I will no longer call you servant, but now I call you friends. And the reason for that is because we come so close, we get placed where we understand obedience to the Lord, being a servant to him. And he loves us when he admires us when we can it's an opportunity and a privilege to do the work that he has called us to do. Because now we've got the right mindset. Just doing it, just to be doing it, thinking that we're a slave. Even Paul said it, and he was a friend of Jesus, and even he said he was a slave to that, to the one who had captured him. You know, he chose to be, though he was a free man, he chose to be bound to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we come to the understanding of true servanthood, it has nothing to do with selling yourself short to someone else. It has everything to do with a heart attitude towards God and the things that he has.
Amen.
Anyone else have anything else they want to share?
Let me see.
Ultimate servant. He showed us throughout his whole life how to be a servant. Even before he started walking in his calling at 30, he was a servant in being a carpenter. He made things for people with the skills that he was taught by Joseph. And also, you know, throughout the scripture, all the things that he did, you know, being a servant to the people. He even washed the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper, you know. He had a servant's heart. You know, he knew who he was, and he knew the power that was within him. He still served. He still allowed himself to be a servant to the people and to the men around him. He was a perfect example of what it is to serve, learning to lead, to follow before you can lead.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else have anything else they want to share?
Let me say, Latrice?
Yes.
Okay. And the reality, as we say tonight about being a servant, there's a positive servant, and there's a servant heart. We have to look at the examples and say, as you've been teaching tonight, we have to humble ourselves, we have to be obedient. Two keys to being that kind of servant. Because you don't have people going to talk about you, talk to you, talk around you, talk about you. You got to have humility. You got to be obedient to the word of God. Love them one another as I have loved you. We got to let them see it. We got to let them show it. One thing as the teacher was teaching, it moved to me when she was talking about how if somebody that was on the street corner, you need to pray to see those people. Somehow they're angels in disguise. God has put them on the sanctuary for the test us. And you read the book, and you're going to find God has done it to bring us to a place that we can say, yes, Lord. And I want to tell you, I've gone through the test, and I'm still being tested. I'm still being tested. Why am I being tested? Some people that know that they know, but they don't want to hear what you got to say. Because they want to make the mind that the Lord is blessing you to give tonight. Somebody, he don't make sense. He does make sense. He does make sense. And what we have to do is take understanding. If you don't know what you know, that's why when you go and read Proverbs, and you read the fourth and fifth chapter, you're going to see what the man was talking to his son. He said, take the word upon you, my son. Learn of it. Put it on you. When you walk, it'll lead you. When you wake up, it'll shake you. We got to put that word inside of us so that we can say what we are servants. But as sons of God, we come to serve the true and living God through Jesus Christ. We got to go and tell the world. Now, when you're on your job, don't get upset with people that we don't hear them because we don't talk about this on our job, but you pray for that person. Because there'll be a time to have a meeting with them, a prayer meeting with them. I've seen it happen in my life. Some people need to hear what you got to say, and that's why I thank God for you tonight. Anybody else got something else to say? The line is wide open. Don't be afraid. Hello?
Yeah.
Anybody
Hello?
There? Hello? Yeah, go ahead. The line's open. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Pat. And,
hey, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed. Hearing your voice is great.
But
thank you. Leticia, she's in charge of the program. Go talk to Leticia.
In Mark 10, I was just reading earlier, and 42-45, it says greatness is serving others. And it says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of Gentiles lord it over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. So I remember that as I'm also learning every day that I had to come to the end of myself to become but to serve someone else. And it was a very humbling experience. All the times that I went through, I spent a lot of time in the past in the hospital, and that was a very humbling experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Every hour they were cleaning me constantly like I was a baby because I wasn't able to clean myself. And that taught me also more about the extent of what we have to go through in order to serve and take care of somebody else. You know, we should be willing to do it. And Jesus answered his disciples' self-serving questions of which of them would be considered greatest by redefining greatness. It's not one who lords over with power, but one who actually uses that power to serve as a slave. Amazing. You know, you can tell the difference in someone love because when a person takes care of you and they do some things we do for our babies, like cleaning them up and everything, we do that with them because they're not able to take care of themselves. But when we get grown people and people that are sick and that need help and can't do for themselves, and we clean them constantly, I got a great example of that just a month ago, you know, again. How God allowed me to know that I was at the end of myself. And when I got out, that I must do the same thing. Remember to also do the same thing for somebody else. The Lord has been teaching me recently what it is to be a servant leader to his people. It seems to be something we all need to learn. You know, in our sinful nature, we secretly want to be great. In our leadership roles, we hurt others, you know, and I've also been on both sides of that stick, you know, and I've had to, for some reason, God humbled me enough, you know, at the time that it was being done to me, you know, all the wrong and all the hurt from other people, although he was putting something in me as well, you know, as what I was going through. We want accolades and we want praise, you understand? And leaderships can pave the way for those things, you know? And there is always temptation to glory in ourselves and to be set up and to set ourselves above those we serve, you know? And we got to be very, very careful and mindful of lording things over people, you know, and the difference in them and then allowing them to allow ourselves to help them instead. You know, only Jesus knows what we need. You know, he knows our heart. And I'd be surprised, and I was surprised once again, as I said a month ago when I was in intensive care, I had gastro hemorrhaging. And I promise you, it was not a very nice experience, and I didn't smell good, and it wasn't a happy occasion, you know. But it was a very humbling experience for me, you know, when God allowed me to go through that, and then see nurses come in, and no one seemed to mind taking care of me, and every 15 to 20 minutes. You know, I was calling them, you know, because I had to be changed. And it was very, very, very humbling, you know, to know that that just happened. You know, it just brings tears to my eyes. Jesus showed the way, leadership in his kingdom through humble servitude to others and to God. A true leader is the complete servant to those he or she shepherds. It's why the image of God as our shepherd is so powerful, because to shepherd wayward sheep a shepherd must give his all. You know, and when God is pulling on us and bringing us out of situations and trying to put things in us, we must go through some very humiliating situations, you know, where we can't even change it if we wanted to. You know, we have to just lie there in situations and wait till someone come and help us, you know, and he allows that to be done in love. When we can do things in love, that's very, very rewarding, very grateful. A lot of gratitude in that and humbling, and that's coming to the end of ourselves. So I just thank God for allowing me to come, you know, end on this lesson tonight and be blessed. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you too, sister.
Thank you.
Anyone else have anything else they want to share?
Anybody else on the line? Let me check and see. Let me see.
I just want to thank Sister Pat for sharing her testimony because she became transparent tonight for many of us. And I just thank her for the obedience, to be obedient, for being obedient to the Lord and sharing her testimony. And I pray that the Lord will continue to work in her and show her some greater things, you know, because she chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him. So thank you, Sister Pat, for sharing
your
testimony. And I pray that there's someone on the line that could truly be blessed by it. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Somebody up on the line. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Are you there?
Amen. I'll close with prayer.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Praise God. Go ahead. Amen. And the one thing, are you still there, Latrice?
Amen.
Hello? Amen. I thank Pam for her testimony of what God is bringing her through. And I want to just say to y'all, I want to thank all of y'all that prayed. When I asked y'all to pray for my Marty's sister's son who went on to glory, we're supposed to do get everything in order for him, for his body. But he went to be with the Lord. But we showed much love we could to somebody who needed love. Man, we don't know where some people leave this earth realm. It's according to our testimony. And as the apostle Paul said, he said, I don't know if I'm caught between here and there. We have to be in the same state. We just don't know. We look at the world, we're sitting in Hungary, Budapest, they're fighting. We got the Pope coming over here in America. We got the fire out there in California. We got so much going on, but where are the believers? Where are they standing up for the word of God as the teach has thought about this? Are we a servant? Are we just out there playing the game? See, to play the game is hanging around the church. I don't believe in hanging around the church. I was hanging around the church, ain't nothing going on around the church, but a lot of gossip, a lot of stuff screwed up. But when you leave outside and go out there into the world, you're going to meet what Jesus said, the teacher was talking about tonight. And I know that I know, as Pam was talking about. And, you know, here I'm a six-foot man for the first time in my life. I never thought I'd have to have somebody, as she said, that I'd have somebody help me with my body. But I learned to be humble. I started crying and she said, we're not here to hurt you, Miss Donna. We're here to help you.
Amen.
Now, you something happened in your body, and you can't understand. It's something you're supposed to do that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You ate the wrong food and the wrong thoughts, and your blood was all clogged up, but God left you here for a reason.
Amen.
I'm here for a reason. I stand for the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. I stand for it. I'm not backing up. I'm moving forward. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to fuss with you. But I know I can say this in that humbling state. It took me to a level I can't even talk about. Because God is doing so much work. But sometimes, hallelujah, thank you, Father. When God gives you revelation knowledge, you got to pray about it before you release it.
Amen.
Because
some people
going to think you're crazy. I'm telling you what I know.
Amen.
Now, when I was asking God for this young lady, Latrice, to come on the radio station, look what she's done. I mean, the lines I see right now, they wide open. And I want them to know, hey, she's a woman of God. She's a son of God. She has the word. And she got a man. He backs. I love it about that brother. He come on, he said, I come to cover my wife. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about, being a good servant to his wife. That's being a good servant to the wife. My God Almighty, I'm getting happy, Lord. Latisha, it's your program. Go ahead. It's your program. Go ahead, Latisha.
Amen. Bless God for those testimonies. That's powerful testimonies. I just want to close with a prayer, and I just encourage everyone to keep pushing, seek God in everything that you do, and do it unto
Amen.
God and not unto me. Lord, I thank you for your word today, Father God. Help us all to humble ourselves, Father God, and seek your face, Father God. Stir us up, Father God, in the direction you have for us to go, Father God. Keep us covered under your blood, Father God. Release your angels and cap around us, Father God. Have your way in our life, Father God. Help us to submit every part of our being and love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, Father God. And help us to love our neighbors the same, Father God. I thank you for all that you are, Father God. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who was a servant for us, Father God. He humbled himself, my God, my God. He humbled himself for us, Father God. So help us, Father God, to be just like him, Father God. Help us to reach out to those who need to hear a word from you, Father God. Help us to be those vessels that you call us to be, Father God. Help us to jump up and shake up our own pains and issues, Father God, and reach out to the next hurting person. Help us to go out into the sick, Father God, into the hospitals, Father God, and speak and declare healing and strength over them, Father God. Help us to go out to the prisons, Father God, and speak a word in the woman and man of God, Father God, and help them to see, Father God, that you haven't forgotten about them. Help us to give drinks to those who are thirsty, Father God. Help us to have a word for those that are thirsty, Father God. Help us to seek you day and night, Father God. Help us to be in that word, Father God, like never before, Father God. Give us understanding. Give us deep revelation, Father God, so we can go out into the world, Father God, and do what thus says the Lord, Father God. We are here, Father God, and we thank you, Father God, for being all that you are in our lives, Father God. We thank you for being our Redeemer, Father God. We thank you for giving us wisdom and purpose, Father God. Help us, Father God, to humble ourselves and do what you're telling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank
amen.
You, everyone,
amen.
And God bless everyone.
Amen. Bless
amen.
You. Amen. Have a great night.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Amen.
Raven.